also want to encourage you in the gifts of the Spirit to pray that the Lord will use you in the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, tongues and interpretation, visions, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, laying hands of people, seeing them healed, performing miracles and having miraculous faith. Have boldness. Let the Lord use you like that in the body, in the church. If you feel that the Lord's given you something, it's the first time, come and speak to me. Tell me what it's about. I'll tell you if you're on track or not. I'll know, because I've got the Spirit in me. This morning's message is all about new things. If you turn and read that scripture, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. That is the text for this morning. I don't normally give a key text, but that's the key text for this morning. Our God always remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But who knows that He's also the God of new things? Church, I need you to respond. I need you to say, amen. Amen. Right. He's the God of new things. He loves to do new things. Our God is a God that loves to do new things. Think about the account of creation in Genesis. I nearly said Exodus. In Genesis, when God created, and He looked out, and the Spirit was hovering over the deep, and it was a void, and there was nothing. It was chaotic. There was nothing. And God spoke, and there was light. And He separated the day and the night, and He separated the water from the land, and He created birds, and He created fishes, and He created animals and insects and all sorts of beautiful things. Think about the sunrise. Think about how beautiful it is when the sun comes up, when the sun goes down. Think about the beauty of creation, some of the most beautiful animals, some of the beautiful landscapes that we get to see. God created beauty, and then He created man. He created you and I, and He stood back and said, "It is good." God loves to create good things. He loves to create beautiful things. And then on the other side, you get to Revelation. And in Revelation 21, verse 1 and 3 to 4, it says this, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." And think about that. There's going to be no more sea. Wow, we won't be able to go to the sea on holiday anymore, sweetie pie. But there'll be a sea of glass that it speaks about. I was thinking about that the other day as I prepared this message. Anyway, "Also there was no more sea, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" God is creating a new thing from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. God is doing a new thing. Amen. Hallelujah. That's exciting stuff, church. I'm excited. The Bible is bookended. Genesis to Revelation. It's like the whole Bible is held up. But God's new thing, the things we love and the things we like today, He says those things are going to be gone. I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to be better. Who wants death? Who wants sickness? Who wants poverty? Nobody wants it. He says there's going to come a day. He's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. That new thing can be yours. All you have to have is faith and trust Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our God loves doing new things. I believe this is a year, as I've been fasting and praying, I've spent a bit of time watching Faith TV or whatever, the Christian programs, and the churches are talking about God moving in 27, doing a special outpouring on the church in 2017. I truly believe that with all my heart. God has got a plan for His church in this year. It's a year of jubilee. It's a year of release. It's a year of new things. This is a year of new things, church. God is going to bless us in this year. It's not going to be an easy year. We're going to face challenges. We're going to face, and I don't speak this over your life, okay? But this is life. Challenges come. Governments remain corrupt. God can change it just like that. But for now, until He does it, we may have to face difficulties. But God says, don't worry, I'm with you. I'm with you right here. I will see you through, and it'll be a good year for you if you keep your eyes on me. That's been His word since the beginning of the year. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Do you believe it, church? Amen. Are you going to believe it if you face a difficult time this year? Yes. Because that's what we need to do. I'm not confessing it over you. We are God's children. We are God's people. We're His people of promise. We're His people of blessing. We can face anything in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So I want to speak about some of the new things that the Lord showed me as I prepared this message. First thing is, when we get born again, we start a new journey. Who knows 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17? If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. He beheld old things have passed away, and all things, say with me, all things have become new. When you gave your heart to Jesus, all things became new. He made you a new person. He took the dead, the ungodly, the sin, the unlikable, all that rubbish out of you, and He made you a new person. When He looks upon you now, He looks upon you with grace. He loves you. No matter where you've been, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, He looks at you, He says, behold, all things have become new. Amen. You're a new creation. Our whole perspective changes when we're born again. People can see that we're different. Can I tell you, there are people, as they get born again, that have had habits, that have had addictions. Maybe an alcoholic, maybe a drug addict, maybe somebody that's hooked on nicotine, maybe an adulterer. God touches them and He changes them just like that. Their lives are never the same. I used to be a man, filth used to come out of here. Not proud of it. I could string together swear words, and I used to do it for fun. And God touched me and changed me just like that. Doesn't happen anymore. Praise God. And He can do it in your life too. We become a new creation. This is due to the supernatural. It's the presence of God's Holy Spirit that connects with our spirit and makes us new. Say new to the person next to you. Say, I'm new. Hallelujah. Because of our salvation, we're not only new, but God has given us a new song to sing. A song that the angels can sing. Remember a few weeks ago I spoke about it. He's given us a song that the angels can sing. It's a song of salvation. He's not only made us new. Psalm 40 verse 3 says this. He has given me a new song to sing. Josh, you must sing the new song. People, you must sing the new song. It talks about it in the New Testament as well. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He's done and be amazed. They will put their trust in God. When you start singing the song of salvation, when they look at your life that they know was in the gutter, and they see that He's taken you from the guttermost to the uttermost, they're going to praise God because you're going to be singing the song of salvation. My life is never going to be the same again. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, if you're here and you've never experienced the newness that you can have in Christ Jesus, you can have it today. When we end the service, I'll give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. You can become a new person just like that. Things in your life that need to be changed, you can turn them around just like that. Maybe it'll take a journey, but maybe you'll say, I'll do it today. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, if you've slipped away from that new life, if your life is no longer reflecting the new creation that you are in Christ Jesus, if you've backslidden, God says, today is the day I change it. Today is the day we turn it around and I fix it all up and you walk out of your heel. Can I hear another amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, let's give the Lord praise. We love you, Lord. He's here today to do a new thing. I want to tell you the second new thing about our... The second new thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is the new thing that He gives us every day. Do you know that God in His Word has promised us a new thing every day? Who knows what it is? Who can tell me what it is? Mercies. He's given us new mercies. Lamentations 3 verse 22 to 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now that, church, is something we can truly rejoice about. Why do we need new mercies every morning? Because the Word of God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just because we're born again doesn't mean we don't remain human. We still make mistakes. We still sin. We still get it wrong. But people, you know, the enemy comes. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. He's trying to rob you of your salvation. He's trying to rob you of your hope. He's trying to rob you of the joy that you have in your salvation. You get it wrong, and whew, here comes the condemnation. You get it wrong. Oh, I can't do this anymore. You say, you look at your life, and you say, yeah, but I used to be such a sinner, and you can't be used by God. God says, my new mercy is new for you. How often? Every, that if I messed up yesterday, and I go before the Lord, I take hold of His mercy for today. Forget yesterday. Forget what's behind you. Forget the old life. Forget your mess ups. Forget that which you struggled with yesterday. Let yourself be new today. If you live in yesterday, you'll never go forward. You'll never go forward because you'll always be living yesterday. God will never be able to do what He wants to do in your life. But if you let go of your yesterday and take His new mercies, you can have it today and tomorrow and the next day and every single day of your life. Hallelujah. We walk by faith. We walk in victory. We will not be held down by the enemy. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 23 it says this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me every day of my life. Amen. So if I messed up yesterday, well, forget yesterday. Today I'm not going to mess up. And if I mess up today, guess what? Tomorrow morning's on the way. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean you can walk in sin. Doesn't mean you can live just as you please. We have got a desire to honor God, to obey Him, to do His will, to live in a way that's acceptable before Him. But if you fall, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds him in His hand. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord more praise? Yes, hallelujah. We bless you this morning. So I want to tell you this morning, if you're sitting here this morning and there's condemnation, if you're sitting here this morning and there's a past that's holding you back, move into the new thing that God has got for you. It was given to you already this morning. Midnight, boing! They talk about all sorts of rubbish that happens at midnight. Let me tell you, God's new mercy started at midnight, because that's when morning starts. His mercy is new every morning. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to stop shouting. I'm scaring the children. But I'm excited. Sorry, church. It's just sinking in. Hallelujah. Yes, let's give the Lord more praise. Oh. Paul says in the New Testament, when we get it wrong, we can do something. He said it himself. Even the great apostle Paul, he had a past that he wanted to forget. He wanted to leave behind him. He faced many struggles. He says this in Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. No, dear brothers, he's talking about, have I made it? Because I'm this great apostle, have I made it? He says, no, I haven't. I haven't made it yet. So even the great apostle hadn't made it yet. Think about you and I. We're just little old you and me. We haven't made it yet. But what does he say? No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting what is past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive. Say with me, receive. The heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We forget what's behind, we strive forward, and we push forward to take hold of that prize. One day, whether it's through sickness, whether we die in our sleep, whether He comes to fetch us, one day, we'll have that heavenly prize. But what it takes is we've got to push, 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 push. The devil wants to keep you in yesterday. He wants to hold you back. He doesn't want you to go forward. He doesn't want you to push forward to your prize. He wants to rob you because he came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you abundance of life. There's eternity waiting for you and our brother and sister. We've got victory waiting for us. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you looking back on? Where is the enemy condemning you? How is he tying you down? Have you taken hold of your new beginning in Christ Jesus this morning? Have you taken hold of my new mercies? They are new every morning. Take hold of it this morning. If you haven't done it, say, I take hold of it now. Say it. I take hold of it now. I want you to say it by faith. Let's say it. I take hold of it by now. Just stretch out. I take hold of it by faith. Amen. Put it on you. Fill your spirit with it. There's a lot of power in the things we do symbolically. The whole Bible is symbolic. So we can do symbolic things too. Okay, so, first of all, we're a new creation. Then He gives us a new thing every morning, and He gives us a new song. Then He gives us a new thing to do. God gives us a new thing to do. When we are born again, we become that new person. When we live for Him, we receive His new mercies every day. But when we continue to live for Him, Then he gives us good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. He gives us things to do in our lives, and we can trust him to do a work in and through our lives. And church, if there's anything I want to challenge you with today, it's to take hold of the new thing, the new purpose, the new plan that God has got for you. Remember on Wednesday night, those of you that were here, we watched the message. It was all about the things we need to change. We need to do some pruning in our life. We need to prune off dead works. You know, when you prune a rose, you prune off the dead heads. But if there's too many buds, you also go and prune it a little bit so that those buds that open will be more beautiful. And then that's some of the good stuff, even good stuff that clutters our life that we need to prune out. So the Lord was talking about what's in our lives that we need to get rid of. It must become old stuff. But then God's also saying, you need to take hold of the new stuff that I've got for you. And that's a key this morning that he wants to speak to us about. One of the great examples in the Bible is Abram, or should I say Abram. Genesis 12 verse 1 says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Imagine if God woke you up one morning and said, listen, move to us. No, just pack up, put your money together. Later on I'll tell you what plane ticket to buy. That's just putting it into today's term. He had no clue. He came to one morning and said, pack up and go. Abram said, yes, Lord, where? No, he didn't. He didn't. He said, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, a place of safety, a place of comfort, your comfort zone, to a land that I will show you. God was moving Abram to a place he'd never been before. God wants to take you, Christian Heritage, to a place you've never been before. I believe it's time for us to start moving forward. I believe, you know, we can carry on being religious. We can carry on doing the same old, but God has got more for us, church. And I believe we've come a long way. God has moved in our life, but there's so much more. There's a new thing that he's got for you and for me today. Hallelujah. Amen. God didn't even tell him where to go. He said, go. Abram didn't say, but where? Abram didn't say, but where? Do you know what happened when Abram obeyed God and went? He got a new name. His name, the name Abram, now listen carefully what I'm saying to you now. I'm not going to shout and get all excited, okay? The name Abram means exalted father, okay? That's a good name, right? He had, what's the right word, stature. With his people, he was an exalted father. He had stature. It was personal, wasn't it? It was good for him, okay? But his new name, Abraham, you know what it means? Father of a multitude. All of a sudden, it wasn't about me, myself, and I anymore. When he started to move with God, it became about God and God's people and the blessing and the plan and the purpose that God has for his people. That's what happened when Abram got up and started walking and doing and being and taking hold of the new thing that God had for his life. Who wants it to be all about me, myself, and I? Do you? We want it to be about God's plan, God's purpose. Who would like to influence a multitude? Abraham, through the lineage of Abraham, sent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He blessed us. It said, through you all nations will be blessed. That's you and I. God took him. Do you know that God has got a plan for your life in the new thing he wants to do for you? But sometimes we sit glued to our chair. Sometimes we won't move. Sometimes we say, no, Lord, I don't have time for that right now. We say, Lord, it's my schedule. We need to say, Lord, send down the fire. Send down the rain. Let my heart be ignited. Let it burn for you again. Amen. Amen. When God brings about that new thing, your own limited way of thinking, your own limited mind, your own limited dreams and thoughts and hopes become so much bigger because they become part of God's great plan and vision and hope for his people. Who wants to take hold of that this morning? Put up your hand if you want to take hold of that this morning. I do. Right. God's call to get up and do a new thing is unique and different in each and every one of our lives. Let me give you some examples. Abram had to pack up and move. Gideon, on the other hand, had to stop being a scary pants and become the mighty man of valor that God had called him to become. David had to get up from the comfort of the sheepfold and from having to deal with lions and bears and go onto the battlefield and face Goliath. Peter had to get up and step out onto the water on those waves that were rough and bouncing all around him. Paul had to stop being a Pharisee, an exalted man in his own people, wise and looked up to, and he had to become a man of God, the great apostle Paul. He went through all sorts of hardships. So God moves differently. His new thing is in different people in different ways. God has got a new thing for you and for me, for each of us. For some of us, it might be the same thing. For many of us, He's got a new thing that is something that you've never done before. But are you willing to take hold of it? Are you willing to take hold of it, church? Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if we want to take hold of the new thing that God has in our lives, we got to be willing to go. We got to be willing to do. We got to be willing to say. We got to be willing to accept the change that He wants to bring. It takes obedience. It takes obedience. It's a sub-point under this thing that God has got a new plan for us. It takes obedience to move into the new thing. Abram had to be obedient when God said, pack up and go. What does the word say? In 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, it says this. So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the Lord, the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of ram. Let me put it into something you can identify with today. To obey is better than sacrifice, okay? So we do a 21-day fast. That's sacrifice, isn't it? It's great. It's good for us. But let me tell you what. I would rather obey the voice of the Lord than sacrifice for one day or for 1 second. Because it says in the Word, to obey is better than sacrifice. Simple. Do you understand it now? To obey is better than sacrifice. So when God says, I want to bring you into a new thing, the way we respond is key. The way we respond is key. Are you with me? Many of you, sitting here now, since the beginning of the year, whether you've been fasting or not, God has spoken to you and He's challenged you about new things. He's challenged you about things you need to change in your life. He's challenged you about people you must maybe speak to, or things you must do, or money you must give, or whatever it is. Have you done it? Have you obeyed God? Or have you remained disobedient? Because obedience is key to moving to the new thing that God has got for your life. Have you heard His voice? And I want to challenge you. If you haven't heard His voice leading you into something new, start saying, Lord, You've got something new for me. Will You guide and direct my steps and show me what Your plan is for my life? Are you with me? Can I hear an amen? Let's shout it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And then secondly, firstly, it takes obedience to do a new thing. Secondly, it takes faith to do a new thing. Hebrews 11 verse 8 talks about Abraham. It says, for by faith Abraham obeyed. By faith Abraham obeyed. He didn't just obey. It took faith to obey God. When he was called to go out of a place he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. It took faith to do that. Sometimes the Lord calls us. He says, Joshua, I want you to sing a new song. You pick up that guitar, you start playing. One word comes. What's the next word? What's the next chord? I know it. I'm saying it because I've experienced myself. But you stand up by faith. By faith, you stand up and give a prophetic word. You have one word in your mouth or an idea. And you say, Lord, I can feel it's You. I know it's You. And you start speaking. It just comes. Amen? It takes faith. You first got to obey. Oh, Lord, the Lord's prompting me to get up and give a word. Maybe God's got some of you that He wants to use prophetically this year. It takes faith to get up. It takes faith. And it also takes obedience. Because when He talks to you, you need to listen. Amen? I think maybe there was somebody here this morning that wasn't obedient. I'm just saying. Right. Abram didn't know where he was going. David didn't know what was going to happen when he walked out on the battleground with Goliath. But he said, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? Think about Peter. He said, if it's You, Lord, can I come? The Lord said, come. He had to obey. Ooh, I can stand. Look at these waves. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? We need to have faith to go where God wants to take us. Are we willing to step by faith and obedience into the new thing God has planned for our lives? Do we trust God enough to know that He will make all things work out to the good for those who love Him? Amen. So we've got His word we can stand on. So even though we're unsure, we can go back to another. Lord, no, I've got to step out in faith, but I'm not sure what's... Don't worry, he says in Romans 8, I will make all things work out for your good. Amen? Because you love me. So you don't have to worry. You can step out in faith. And then I want to tell you finally, there's a blessing in the new thing. If we are obedient and we step out in faith, we can expect the blessing of God. In Genesis 12, it speaks about Abraham again. 12 verse 2 to 3, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. He already had a great name. His name was Exalted Father. But it would never have been as great as it is today. Never. We would never have read about him. We wouldn't have heard about the nation of Israel, because God would have had to choose somebody else with a different name. He said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Isn't this talking about God's protection and blessing all over his life? And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the Messiah coming through his line. Gideon stood up in faith. What was the blessing that came? He stood up. He destroyed his father's idols. He was the weakest of the weak. And yet his people didn't destroy him because of destroying their idols. They stood up and they followed him. He called and the army of his clan came. And God says, there's too many of them. If they come, maybe they'll take the glory. They'll say, there's too many of them. So I think we must make this army smaller. So he did two things. He said, tell those who are scared to go home. Sent them home. Half the people went home. There were still 300 men. A bunch of men. He said, okay, there's still too many. He said, well, those who kneel down and drink like dogs, send them home. The other ones who lap up water with their hands, they'll be your army. When he was left, there were 300. Do you know how big the enemy was? It said they were vast. The valley was full of them. They were like insects in the valley. 300 men? He took faith. And you know what? Then God said, didn't say, oh, guess what? Here's your brand new atomic bomb. He didn't give him an atomic bomb. He didn't even give him a machine gun. Didn't even give him a sword. He said, take your horn. Take a torch. And take something to cover it with. That's what you go with. Lord, what are you doing? But God used those silly things, those simple things. And those Midianites and the armies, the hordes that were with him, they turned on one another. They destroyed. It took faith. The blessing came. Gideon became a great judge in Israel. He who saw himself as the least of the least. Do you see yourself as the least of the least today? Do you see yourself of no effect, of no purpose? My life is such a mess. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too sick. I've got a wrong attitude. I'm too sinful. God says to you today, I've got a new thing for you. Step out in faith. Step out in obedience. And see how I will bless you. I will bless your coming and your going. I will bless your basket and your store. If you will lift yourself up today, I will pour out my blessings upon you like you've never seen in your life before. And let me tell you, church, it's a new day. You may say, I've seen God's blessing. I've been here. I've got the teachers. I've seen how God can move. And I'm walking to the back on purpose because I want this to cover the whole church. I want to say, and I'm speaking prophetically, I'm away from my notes. God has got a new thing for you. You're going to see blessings in your life like never before. Stephen, God can change everything for you. He can bless you, Sammy. Luca, where's Sammy? There's Sammy. Lord, he can bless each and every brilliance. He can bless you guys sitting here. Rania, he can bless you. He can bless your womb. He can do whatever he chooses to do. Pinky, he can bless you. God can choose to do whatever. You see, step out in obedience. I will open the floodgates of heaven over your life like you've never seen before. Maria, a whole new life. Joy like you've never had in your life before. Amen. Janet, you will be so full of the Lord's presence and grace. Just open and move into that new thing he's got for your life. Hallelujah. Trevor and Annette, facing challenges, trials, been through a year that's horrible. God says, look and see the new thing I've got for you. If it won't be a blessing. See if it won't be a blessing. See if you won't open your mouth and praise me. That's what he says to you this morning. And for each and every one of our lives, you ladies from the cradle, look, God is busy healing. You're in the new thing already. Don't let him stop. Don't let him stop doing it. To say, Lord, come and do your new thing in my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see the wind of the Spirit. He's coming. The Lord's presence. Oh, bless you. Yes, hallelujah. I will bless you. I will do a new thing in your midst. You will be a new people. You will be my people. You will be those called by my name. People will see you and they'll see the glory of God all over your life. People will come to you with their problems and you'll know the answer. You will pray for people and behold, they will rise up. Even those who are dead, I will touch them through you, my people, as you move with boldness and courage into the new thing that I've got for your life. Know that I will bless you upon blessing. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. I will be for you and not against you. I will lift you up. I will give you the work that you're seeking. I will give you the health that you need. I will pour out my blessing. But seek me first. Walk in obedience. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Never turn away. Never turn away. Never turn away. Always look up. Always look up. Always look up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Love you, Lord. He is good. Moving into God's new thing can be a challenge. It might take us moving out of our comfort zone. Gideon had to move out of his comfort zone. David had to move on to the battlefield. Abraham had to leave home. Peter had to step into the raging sea. And Paul had to walk out of the comfort of being an exalted leader among the spiritual people. So maybe it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. But church, what happens if we don't? What happens if we're too scared? What happens if we choose to ignore the challenge God is giving us this morning? What if we leave it here at the altar? The prophecy came this morning. Come, whatever you need, come. God is calling us deeper. Not one person came forward this morning. I don't know, maybe the Lord wasn't talking to you. But He's talking to us now. Are we going to take hold of the new thing God has got planned for us for 2017? Or are we going to remain in the past? Are we going to carry on with the old struggles? Are we going to carry on with the old life? You know, God moves us forward. I want to move into His new thing. Who wants to move into His new thing? Say this with me. I want the new thing. Hallelujah. I receive the new thing. I'm going to make it mine in Jesus' name. And as we do so, God will reward us and bless us. 2017 is a year of Jubilee. Jubilee, as I've said a number of times already, represents a year during which slaves were freed, debts were forgiven, and the mercy of God was manifest in a particularly beautiful way. It speaks of freedom. It speaks of bondage being broken. I want to say in the prayer meeting this morning, I was thinking it and Conrad prayed it, that God is going to loose people from bondage. God is going to loose people from bondage. Amen? He's going to free you. You may say, and I'm going to talk freely, there's quite a number of people in the church that smoke, okay? And I don't judge you in any way. I'm telling you, you need Jesus. If he wants to deal with that in life, he'll deal with it. But it is an addiction. God can break that addiction. There's people in the church that drink. Some of you are bound to alcohol. God can break that thing. Amen? There's people in the church that are depressives. You battle with depression. It's a bondage. God can break that of you. Sometimes it's a sickness. I had to be medicated for it, okay? Because if the serotonin in your brain is not in the right level, sometimes you just need medicine to get it right, okay? God uses doctors too. But what I'm trying to say is the things that are binding you, God can loose those ties. Amen. Some of you are bonded in bondage to the past. Things that have happened in the past. Abuse. Hurt. Offense. It's a bondage. It's a tie that binds. God says, I'll make you new. I'll give you a new start today. Hallelujah. It's a day of new beginnings. People were given opportunity to start over. Today is your chance to start over. Get a new start. It was a time of great joy. The feasts were a time of great joy. They were called feasts because they feasted. They feasted on God's presence. They feasted on food. It was something that they didn't always have. Who knows that the Israelites didn't always have meat to eat. And so they were kind of vegetarians because they couldn't afford it. But they'd go to the feast and they'd eat that meat that had been sacrificed. They would feast. That's why it's called a feast. I want to read you the scripture that's on the board again. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. Who's living in the wilderness right now? God says, I'm making a road there. And rivers in the desert. Where do you see a river in the desert? God says, I don't care. I'm God. I can create whatever I like. I'll put a river in the desert of your life. I'll make a roadway here and that's where nobody can go, where there's no place to go. I will make a way. That's it, Benji. You say it. You say it. I receive it. God's new thing is not limited to new work or that, like Abram, who had to move out from where he was. It could be health in the place of sickness, employment in the place of unemployment, joy in the place of depression, salvation in the place of being lost. It could be a number of things. He could be calling you into an area of ministry, saying, I want to bless you. I want to show you that I can use you, my vessel. Let it spring forth. Let that roadway come in your wilderness. Let that river come into your desert. God wants to give it to you this morning. Who are we to say, no thanks, I don't want it, Lord. Amen. It's a lot limited. He may be calling us to do things we've never done before. There was a man by the name of Charles Kettering. He said this, people are very open-minded about new things, as long as they're exactly like the old ones. That's not what God's calling us to. Walt Disney, who we know well, said this, we keep moving forward, opening new doors and doing new things because we're curious, and curiosity keeps us leading us down new paths. I want to tell you, we keep opening doors. We keep trying new things. We keep moving forward. Not because we're curious, because we have faith. We are God's people of faith. We are God's people of promise. And He's got a new thing for us today. So we move forward. And you know what? Next year, He'll have another new thing for you. But He's got a new thing for you today. Are you going to take hold of it, church? Amen. Hallelujah.